praise and thanks that we not only sing this, but indeed our trust and our faith rest in our God. And we see throughout the scripture that there were many men who put their hope in the Lord in all their desolation and in all their grief and depression. We read of David, for example, in Psalm 18, he says, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Even in these short sentences, we see a man of God, David, expressing these words. And I don't believe he just said them, that they are written here, but that he actually put his trust in the living God. And he says here, I love you, Lord, my strength. He knew he could not expect strength from anyone else, but he could expect strength from the Lord. And if we look at it in detail, indeed, the Lord stood by him. Why? Because he trusted the Lord. The Lord is my rock, he says, and my fortress, and even more, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. O beloved, God had become all for him. And I believe it must come to pass in our day that the Lord will become all in all to us. Brothers and sisters, whatever may come, I believe that he did not just say these words, but that he proclaimed them from the depths of his heart. And I would like to say, most certainly, not only that they were proclaimed, but for a purpose, perhaps for you and for me, that we may look in, that we may see a man persecuted, yes, by the skin of his teeth, but he did not look at men, but he looked at the living God. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He knew that if God was with him, he would be saved from his enemies. And we see it throughout his life. The hand of the Lord was with him. He then goes on to say, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Well, that's not easy. Once you get into that situation, you know what you're talking about. I don't think they were all empty words. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Oh, that is something wonderful. Beloved, that not only did he cry out, but he experienced that God heard him, that the cry of his soul reached God's ears. Brothers and sisters, I don't know, but we too should pray in such a way that our prayer reaches God's ears, that it doesn't just reach the ceiling, that it's not just empty words, but that we pray so fervently that He hears it, and that He can then also answer, and that He can draw near to us with His help. And we see a David, he says here so wonderfully that he was heard, and we are grateful for that. He then goes on to say, "Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet, and he rode upon a cherub, and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters, and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows, and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings, and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me, because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore has the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With a merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With a pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with a froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." Perhaps up to here, this precious and wonderful word of God. These are words spoken in faith. And we can indeed see that after all the suffering, after all the persecution, God has intervened and come to the aid of his servant and his anointed. And we can hope the same, brothers and sisters. He always comes to the aid of his people who put their trust in him, even when it looks as if he is not listening. But the moment is coming, here David says, for I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. In all that has come, he has kept God's word and God's ways, and has not departed. Brothers and sisters, in these days, we must place ourselves fully on God's side. To be half redeemed is not enough for the soul, as the songwriter sings. Let us take it to heart. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. May God keep us, that we may always keep his statutes before our eyes, and that we may not reject the words of our God. And tonight we have come once again to worship, to praise his name, to offer him honor and thanksgiving. I believe that this word also gives us comfort, that we can look up to him again, and that we can come to him just as we are. Our strength is with our God, and that's why we are happy and grateful. Let us now stand up and worship together. Then Brother Frank will say a few words to us, and then we will pray again. Faithful God, we thank you also in this evening hour, for this hour and for this gathering. We thank you for all the heroes of faith. We thank you, Lord, for all those who have stood firm before us, faithful God. We thank you that we may have this word, that we may see how they have passed through, strengthened by your power. Lord, you will also lead us, your people, through these days. We have often perceived your strong hand, and we have often heard, Lord, that you are also at work in our midst, that you have shown yourself to be the living one, the true one, the faithful one. Praise be to your wonderful name. And as we have sung, I trust in Jesus, I trust him until eternity. When tribulation comes, I trust in Jesus alone. Lord, we too would like to join in with this songwriter, for he too has placed his trust in you, and we too, Lord, place our trust completely in you and lean on your precious and holy word. We worship you and praise your glorious name. Lord, continue to be with us tonight and also in the gatherings ahead of us, Lord. We pray you, Lord, have mercy on us and help us always. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the privilege of being here again. The first visitors have already arrived. Brothers and sisters from Norway, we welcome you and hope that you understand our language a little, and even more, that you can receive the work of the Spirit in you. A brother who speaks English said to me on Sunday in Zurich, I didn't understand much of what was said, but I understood the Spirit and the work of the Spirit. And so, we all desire to understand the divine language and to experience the work of the Spirit. I practiced a chorus with my two brothers with whom I came from Zurich. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice. Let his word and his spirit enter in This is the day that the Lord has made. I just don't know if my two brothers can sing yet. Otherwise, they can sing well, but they will surely let me down. And if I stand here alone, I won't be able to sing at all. When I'm somewhere on my own, I can sing, really sing to my own tune. You should hear me sing when I really sing from the heart. And Brother Russ said, the same applies to prayer. It has to come from the heart, so that it rises up to God. It can't just be an expression in words, but must be wrought in our hearts by the Spirit. Because we are going to pray at the end, let me at least say what needs to be made known. This sister is physically, whatever the problem in her limbs may be, she is unable to comb her hair properly and inquired, what about the long hair in such a case? And the thought occurred to me, we should pray earnestly that she would not cut her hair, but that God would strengthen her hands so that she can do what is necessary. Sometimes people need prayer help, and these meetings that we have here on Wednesday evenings should serve to strengthen others in their faith, to comfort them, to lift them up. And that makes me think of the word I read as an introduction on Sunday in Zurich. For the first time, it really struck me what has to happen before we can comfort others or be a blessing to them. In 2 Corinthians 1, we read 2 Corinthians 1 from verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That is a wonderful word. Your and my comfort will not mean too much to others. It will be blown away by the wind. But if we ourselves, and this already emerged from the opening word, if we experience God in our tribulation, in our affliction, in our suffering, in our illness, in our despondency, whatever it may be, at the point, in the area, in which we experience God ourselves, we can bring this divine comfort to others from experience. And then they will realize that they are not just our words, but God's words, behind which God Himself stands, which God Himself has fulfilled in our lives. And that is something quite marvelous. We heard all of this in the opening word. And we can see that David in particular presented his case in such detail. We would describe it as lengthy today. But he expressed everything that moved him inwardly and what the Spirit of God inspired him to do. Sometimes things are written that don't speak directly to us, and then suddenly there are one or two verses in the middle that get to the heart of the matter, and we are addressed, and God can bless us anew. We have heard it here. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. God hears, God sees, but God also wants to answer. And we have already said it. Anyone who wants an answer from God must not only ask, but must also give thanks, because faith is revealed in thanksgiving. As it is written, believe that we have already received it, and it will be given to us. In my opinion, we should ask God to release us inwardly, to take away the burden that weighs us down. And a hymn writer also sings this: you may lay your burden on Jesus. You may trust him childlike. And it is written that we can cast our cares on him. And then there's also the word that refers to the end times in Luke 21, that we should not be burdened with the cares of this life. The things are there, but we must lay them aside, believing the Lord and trust him that he will make it well. I had also already underlined this verse. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him. I have also underlined verse 19. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. We can say this in faith. We do not help ourselves, but our help comes from the God who created heaven and earth. He is able to pull us out. David experienced it, and many, perhaps many before him, and even more after him, have experienced it, that God is faithful, that he helps, and stretches out his hand to those who wait for him. There is something in this word to the Corinthians that really touches me, and that is the personal experience with God. As I said earlier, we can only serve others with what we ourselves have received from God, what we have experienced. then behind the words is the divine deed. We cannot speak of salvation or tell others about it if we have not received and experienced it ourselves. Everything we want to say and bring to others, we must have received from God ourselves, so that we can speak not in theory, but from practice. And that is actually what gives the believer this power. We can all speak words, including ourselves, but divine deeds follow the divine word. And we believe that we have not heard the word of man, but the word of God. And we believe that God will not hold back, but can confirm His word at all times. And we have often heard Brother Branham say that God confirms His word. If it is not His word, then He has no obligation to confirm or fulfill it. But if it is His word, which we have received in our hearts and believe, then God cannot help but confirm it. If we believe this, we will be helped. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. The Father of mercies. We could go into the sermon and into the word. God, who is rich in mercy, He has shown us His mercy in abundant measure. Here it says, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts not only in one area when we are in this or that situation, but in every area, in every situation, whatever may be and come. God is the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort to everyone, at all times, in every situation, in every place. This is our God. And we can believe that He has not changed. Faith will move mountains. Faith will move the arm of God. And I believe we should go into these days with a believing heart. Not because we trust in ourselves, absolutely not. We say like Paul, we were with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. This may not always be so visible as we are standing behind a lectern here, but we come to the front not with self-assurance, but in the certainty that God must help, otherwise we and others will not be helped, and that we are dependent on Him, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may then that we may then be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That is marvelous. That is the way of God. And I say again, anyone who wants to lift me or you up must have been in a situation where God has lifted him up. They must know how it works. He can't just have done a theoretical study and then pass on this theory, but must have experienced it personally. He must have experienced it. God's promises must become an experienced reality in our lives. And I really ask that we all go into these days without worrying about how it will turn out, but nevertheless with a believing and open heart, because I am convinced that God is up to something. God is up to something. He has His people gathered together to speak to us, and not only that, but to bless us. I don't know, I'm not an interpreter of visions or what people see, but we all know Sister Möslacher from Guggenberg, and she told me something after the meeting in Salzburg on Saturday. It touched me somehow. When she was here in the meeting, she saw how the pillar of fire came over the platform, but in such a way that dark clouds passed directly by the illuminated cross, one after the other. And the radiance of the cross did not break through because of the dark clouds that were passing by. And it really touched me inwardly, I have to say. Blank spot. If we had not understood the cross and the significance of the cross and the work of redemption, then we could be like the people of Israel, who saw the pillar of fire for 40 years and who drank from the rock and ate the manna. And then God says, I was angry with them because they always went astray with their hearts and did not believe. Faith in the New Testament is not only faith in God, but faith in the work of redemption that took place on the cross of Calvary. We are redeemed. And if the enemy raises some dark clouds, that will not change the fact that the cross remains. The cross cannot be taken away and has not been taken away. It was only the dark clouds that darkened the light that emanated from the cross. May our prayer be that God, in His grace, will come into our midst, speak to us, and give us all a clear view of the cross by grace. so that we can experience God as never before. How many can still believe that? After all, it is a time of waiting that we have behind us, and it is surely well known. If someone is waiting, and you ask them, "What are you waiting for?" or "Who are you waiting for?" and they shrug their shoulders, you wouldn't know whether they are waiting or whether they are not right upstairs. If we are waiting, then we need to know who we are waiting for, what we are waiting for, what we are expecting. Is this true or not? And I am waiting for the Lord to reveal Himself to us as the Risen One. I am waiting for the victory of the cross to be revealed. I expect the Lord to come into our midst by grace and to make Himself known as He has promised. He will comfort us with divine consolation by fulfilling His promises. We don't want to preach, but it is written, "I will send you the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. He will guide you into all truth." The divine comfort in your heart and in mine can only come through the Comforter. And the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit makes the Word a living reality in your life and in mine. That is basically a whole sermon, even if it has only been said in a nutshell. To comfort with a comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I will send you the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. He will guide you into all truth. May the Lord be with us tonight and bless us. I would like to make one more wish. It can happen in prayer that someone doesn't quite have an overview of themselves. After all, we always have it about others and hardly or not so good about ourselves. I ask everyone, if something happens next to you that is perhaps a little out of step, overhear it, overlook it. Don't let it rob you of your blessing or disturb your connection to God. Sometimes it corresponds to our mentality, and I find myself doing it too. I get loud without wanting to. I add my prayer to the prayers of others. And it seems somehow awkward, but you only realize that when it's all too late, don't you? But then I also want to ask those, and I want to do it officially, without suspicion in my heart. Let us all really make sure that we don't cause any disruption, but rather that we rectify the disruption, that everything may be worked in divine harmony by the Spirit, carried, guided, and inspired by the Spirit, so that the Lord may be at ease in our midst, and all may be richly blessed. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Let us come to the front and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this hour of grace, that we may come believing and trusting. Lord, you have never sent your people away, but have given them your comfort, so that they too could comfort others with the comfort they have received from you, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, that we too can comfort others with the comfort you have given us, Lord. And this consolation does not rebuke, but it is your consolation. Hallelujah. We thank you, we worship you, and also pray for those who have written who are not doing so well, Lord, in their bodies, faithful God. We pray for all those who are tormented by the enemy. Lord, you are the only one who can help. And we come now to you, Lord, with faith and trust in you, Lord, the living and faithful God, and lay these dear brothers and sisters before you, Lord. You are able to touch them now. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.